When I first read the responsorial psalm from today's Mass, Psalm 33, I was a bit put off, especially with the opening verse, "Happy the nation Yahweh has chosen to be his own. Fortunate the people whom God has chosen as his heritage." At first glance, it may seem that you and I who pray these words are gushing with joy at being part of God's family. But that's not the case. You and I are not part of the nation that Yahweh has chosen to be his own, nor are we members of the people whom God has chosen as his heritage. That verse refers exclusively to the Jewish people. We Christians must never forget that Israel's special relationship to Yahweh as people of the covenant was and continues to be unique. As if to remind us, the Jewish scriptures record more than 50 occasions where God declares his ineradicable marriage to the Jewish people. "You shall be my people, and I will be your God." No other nation or religion can intrude on that privilege of the Jews. Throughout the Jewish scriptures and within Judaism itself, there is a certain propensity to accentuate this notion of religious nationalism. Jewish people praying this psalm with us would probably have a different sense of its meaning. If I may paraphrase, they could quite reasonably pray, "Happy are we, the nation of Israel, because God has chosen us to be his own. Fortunate are we, Jewish people, because God has chosen us as his heritage." That ethnic and religious pride should not distress us. It's something that the Jews have a right to be proud of and grateful for. At the same time, however, within those same Jewish scriptures, there is a competing line of thought at odds with the claim that Israel's relationship with God excludes anyone else. That competing theme, which we call universalism, recognizes that the God who chooses Israel is at the very same time the God of all people. In fact, the Jewish scriptures explicitly envision some point in the future where Jews and Gentiles will worship God together. For instance, "In the days to come, the mountain of Yahweh's house," that is, the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, "shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations," that is, all the Gentiles, "shall stream to the Jerusalem Temple. Many peoples shall come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the Temple Mount, to the house where the God of Jacob lives, so that Yahweh may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths.'" At the beginning of this reflection, I mentioned that I was initially put off by the opening verse that highlights the exclusive relationship between the Jews and God. You can chalk that up to my own petty jealousy. Moreover, in the two verses that immediately follow, the Jewish psalmist explicitly confirms that God's love and care extends to all people on earth. Yahweh looks down from heaven and sees every human being. From where he sits enthroned, Yahweh intently observes everyone who lives on earth. That God loves us all is certainly reassuring, but there is something even more comforting to me hidden within those two verses. Consider, if you will, the three verbs that the psalmist employs. God looks down, God sees, God intently observes. There's a progression there that hints at an intensity of relationship that God ardently desires to have with each human being. God looks down might connote nothing more than a casual glance. For example, God looks down from heaven on the parade of people marching through Washington. That sounds quite detached. But God sees, now there God begins to recognize individuals within that parade. Finally, God intently observes. Here, God is keenly interested in one or more of those people, or even all of them together. By the way, the lectionary mistranslates that third verb as God beholds. That translation is too insipid. The original Hebrew verb, shagach, clearly indicates a more intense sort of scrutiny. I, for one, find it immensely consoling that God doesn't just notice me in some impersonal way as part of the human race, or think of me in some perfunctory way as just one more individual, but that God looks at me and into me with a gaze that is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing me until it divides my soul from my spirit, my joints from my marrow, and is able to fathom the thoughts and intentions of my heart. About 1,000 years after the Jewish psalmist penned those suggestive words, Saint Benedict, the founder of Western monasticism, offered a similar reflection to his monks. Benedict was ruminating about the manner in which God looks down from heaven on the women and men here on earth. He said, "The eyes of the Lord are watching all people, the good as well as the wicked." At least that's how most English versions translate Benedict's verb speculantur. However, Thomas Davis, a retired Trappist abbot, argues that a more accurate translation would be, "The eyes of the Lord intently penetrate all people, the good as well as the wicked." Think for a moment of that medical instrument, the speculum. It's a device that health practitioners use to see inside some interior part of the human body to diagnose or treat disease. Abbot Thomas claims that God doesn't intend simply to watch or behold us. Rather, like a speculum, God intends to penetrate our being, to see within our mind and heart, to love and affirm what is sound, and to heal whatever is not. Saint Benedict then goes on to answer his own question. When God sits on his throne in heaven, how does he see us? He responds, "When God looks on us with those divine eyes, he sees us the way he sees everything, with unfathomable love, with indescribable joy, with inexhaustible understanding, and with unbounded compassion." God loves us with unfathomable love from the moment we begin to exist, not for any of our wonderful qualities or for our many good deeds. God simply loves us to pieces, the way a mother cradling the infant in her arms loves her to pieces, for no other reason than that the infant fills her heart to bursting. God loves us with indescribable pride and joy for the many times we endeavor to live as faithful friends of Jesus. That's God's chesed love, God's steadfast love, the kind of love that has a long memory of all the kind and loving things that one friend does for another. God loves us with inexhaustible understanding, especially when we fall short of the mark. That's what Jesus was trying to illustrate in the parable of the prodigal son. "You, child, have hurt me grievously, but if I stop loving you, I'm only breaking my own heart." Jesus assures us that God is the most prodigal of parents. While the sinful son was still far off, his father saw him and was overcome with love. He ran and threw his arms around him and covered him with kisses. And finally, God loves us with unbounded compassion, compassio, to suffer with. God desires to share our burden, to experience in his own heart our pains, our anxieties, our disappointments. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Well, for me, that's going to be my prayer today. I'll sit quietly for a few moments to compose myself. Then I'll ask God to allow me to rest within his penetrating gaze. I'll ask God to help me to know deep in my heart how he has loved me with unfathomable love from the moment I began to exist. And I'll quietly enjoy a few minutes letting that seep into my heart. After a while, I'll ask God to share with me from his long memory some of the ways that I have tried to be a friend of Jesus. And I'll rest there quietly as God allows those memories to well up in my heart. Some minutes later, I'll ask God to assure me that he has indeed been and will always be a prodigal parent to me, running to sinful me, putting his arms around me and covering me with kisses. And I'll remain there for a while, savoring God's loving mercy. Finally, I'll ask God to help me to believe that he shoulders my burdens with me, to comprehend in some small way that his Sacred Heart is capacious enough to encompass my pains, my anxieties, and my disappointments too. After a while, I'll probably close by echoing the prayer of the Jewish people. Happy the nation that God has chosen to be his own. Fortunate the people whom God has chosen as his heritage. Might this be a worthwhile prayer exercise for you too? May God bless you and give you health.